What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, great podcast today. We talk about the digital dollar, which is a special I'm doing tonight, 9 p.m., only on Blaze TV. I think you can actually get it on Pluto. And is it going to be on YouTube? We never know.
I think it is.
It's a spin the wheel. Never know what they're going to say. We got to cancel because of this. But it's a special tonight. We talk a little bit about this here. Also, the incredible story of Judge Jackson. All that and so much more on today's podcast.
Big shows tonight on Blaze TV as well. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Promo code is Glenn. You got a brand new Stu Does America followed by a brand new Glenn TV. You don't want to miss either one of them. It's going to be really interesting stuff. And we will get into that as well. You can subscribe at BlazeTV.com/Glenn. And The Great Reset, available now. Don't miss it. It's from Glenn Beck, of course, and Justin Haskins, the real brains behind the operation. That's available in bookstores everywhere. And you can get the audiobook and the digital copies as well on Amazon. Make sure to check it out.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So, Stu, Judge Jackson said that she just can't define what a woman is. Here she is, cut four.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Mm. Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
No?
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context. So I'm not a biologist.
I'm not a biologist. Okay. Mm. All right. Well, neither, you know, really are people that taught the entire world, the teachers, that taught us the difference between men and women. Neither are the family and the parents. Maybe that's why the school boards really believe that parents shouldn't be teachers. I mean, unless you're a biologist. If you're a biologist, then you can answer. I mean, I don't know how many times my kids have said, "Daddy, what's a woman?" And I've said, "No, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. I don't know. I can't provide an explanation or a definition of a woman."
I love this. It's like, is it raining outside?
I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist.
I should be able to figure this out.
So, here's the definition of a woman. A woman, biologically speaking, has ovaries and a uterus and a vagina. They can lactate. And I'm pretty sure that it's not just that you could get anything out of any nipple. You need to be able to lactate. And a woman has that. They give birth naturally by passing a baby through a birth canal. So,
is this true, or are you just saying things that could be potentially true?
No, those are true.
Wow.
Those are true.
Really?
I don't want to get too technical here, but a man has a penis and a woman has a vagina. Now, wait a minute. I am a doctor.
Oh, that's right.
I am a doctor.
Of humanities, so you'd really know this.
Anything to do with humans, I have.
Right.
I've got it mastered.
Not how that works, but yeah, no, mm-hmm. You've got it.
You know, there are many things that over time have been labeled a mental disease, but I do believe the clear definition here of a mental disease is pretending that you don't know the difference between a man and a woman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's crystal clear. And what's funny is so many of the people who deny God's existence because it's a man in the sky. You can't see him. You can't hear him. You can't prove that he exists. Many of those people are the same people that somehow or another can see the wiener in the bathing suit, but still says there's no evidence that that's a man. Isn't that weird?
Hmm. It's stunning.
It is
stunning.
Yeah. So
the same people that will go, mm-hmm. like I did a couple of weeks ago, and get a new puppy.
Yeah.
We were told it was a girl. How do we know?
I don't
We're
know.
Not veterinarians. How can we make such a distinction?
Wow. And you can't ask the puppy.
No, the puppy never tells you. Yet every single one of these people owns a dog. Mm-hmm. And those people are able to tell. They say, come here. Good boy. Good boy.
Oh, they're so evil.
Evil. They have never. They have no idea whether it's
a
boy or a girl.
I will tell you that, you know, I raise cattle. And walking behind the cattle, I cannot tell the difference.
Really?
There is no difference. And let me tell you, it's dangerous. When you go to try to milk those cows, I don't know which one's which. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And it is not safe.
I like it. It's no longer 2 + 2 = 5. It's 2 + 2 = I don't know. I'm not a mathematician.
Yes, it is. And you know, when we first read 1984, we thought that could never happen. That could never happen. And we really did think, I mean, I did. I know Stu, we were just talking about it off air. Stu brought it up today. 2 + 2 = 5. We thought that was ridiculous.
Ah, I remember thinking it's, you know, I understand the point of the book and it's a good book, but come on, that would never happen in real life. People would not say 2 + 2 = 5 under duress.
No.
No. And guess what? That's what, when you look at the picture of Leah Thomas next to those two women on the, you know, with the awards there.
It's clear.
It's clear. That's what it is.
Yeah.
2 + 2 = 5. You're supposed to say that it's 5, and everyone that says it's 5 gets banned off of Twitter.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. This is the Emperor's New Clothes. I read that fairy tale when I was a kid. Didn't understand that one. You know, these fairy tales exist for a reason.
For a reason, yeah.
To teach people. And the emperor has no clothes. We are there. We are there. We are looking at Joe Biden, our emperor, who is completely senile. Not someone who I think should be around a desk without a button, let alone a desk with a button. He is senile. He is absolutely corrupt. We have the evidence that he has taken money from the people that we are currently talking about war with. He's taken money from Ukraine. He has taken money from Russia. He has taken money from China. And we're expected not to say anything. The emperor has no clothes. You know, I got to tell you, Rochelle Walensky, it's a man. I mean, to quote, no. I'm going to quote the great biologist.
Just clear.
I'm going to quote the great biologist, Austin Powers. It's a man.
I believe you're thinking of Rachel Levine here. Rochelle Walensky, oh, I don't think she's...
Sorry. Sorry, yes, I am.
Sorry, it would be interesting to see.
Yes.
I've never heard anyone make that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Rachel Levine is the one you're speaking.
Yeah, Rachel Levine. I don't know how. Rachel Levine. It's a man. Okay? That's all there is. And where the confusion would come in is if she were actually a woman and looked like that. Then there would be confusion. Then you'd be like,
Well, this was the bit back on SNL with It's Pat, right?
Right.
That was like, you couldn't tell what gender it was, and it was confusing to everyone, and that was the joke. And everyone was like, good-hearted joke. No longer. I mean, the same people now would not be able to define what a woman even was. How can the joke be funny if we don't know what it is? And by the way, you know, Glenn, when you're a Supreme Court justice, the words...
matter.
And the definition of the words matter.
Yes.
And the word woman is in a lot of these rulings.
Yes.
How is she going to determine what is going on?
I know.
In these cases.
That's why we need to have birthing person instead of woman. By the way, Washington just passed a new law. They changed the law on abortion. So it's not just for women. It's for birthing people, so men can have an abortion. And I just want you to do the math with me here. So a man can claim that he's a woman, then have a baby inserted inside of him to where he carries it. I don't know. Is there like next to the liver or someplace? He carries the child.
A fanny pack. I believe it's a, they carry a fanny, pack. Yeah.
Okay. So he carries the child and then he goes to a Planned Parenthood to have them kill the child.
Yay.
So we've done it.
Circle of life, boys and girls.
We have done it. We are such a great, great society, aren't we?
Mm.
By the way, you know, they were talking about kiddie porn because apparently she has left a few people, you know, let a few people go that were, you know, pedophiles. And she said, well, you know, I mean, it's so easy to find pedophile material now and have it on your computer. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's like Joe Biden said. I mean, who doesn't have, you know, that experience? Who doesn't have a little child porn on their computer? You know what I mean? But here's the thing that I found interesting, and I just would like to point this out. And again, I don't want to be judgmental here at all, but CNN, you probably should not have Jeffrey Toobin on to discuss pornography or child porn. I'm just throwing that one out there.
Because we don't normally say that government should get involved in media. In fact, it's against the Constitution in many ways. But this particular case, I think we should make an exception and ban Jeffrey Toobin from talking about any type of porn.
Yeah.
You can't bring him on as an expert.
No.
I mean, he may be an expert on porn.
He probably is. I mean, we're living in a society where Rachel Levine is, you know, a woman of the year. So you never know. By the way, Leah Thomas is so beautiful, isn't it? Isn't she? Say it. Say it.
Leah Thomas is so beautiful.
Yes. So she is so beautiful. I don't know if you know this. And I think this is horrible because the Today Show did not need to airbrush any of the photos or the video of beautiful, beautiful Leah Thomas. I don't know why they did that. I don't know why they chose to.
You don't know why, huh?
Mm-mm.
Because they did. It was an interesting Photoshop job. It almost seemed like they were trying to feminize her in some way. And if it's already a woman, why would you need to do that, right?
Why would you need to do that?
She's already done all the hard work of being a woman for such a long time.
Don't women have a hard enough job without the Today Show airbrushing so everybody looks at her and says, oh my gosh, I could never be that beautiful. Right. You are just... You're just making it harder for the average woman if we have to see these perfect women all the time airbrushed.
Mm, we've got a 25-car pileup in the narrative intersection.
I feel a little bad that we have not been officially banned on Twitter because of this. I feel like we haven't done our job.
I don't know that we want to necessarily beg for that, but... I am a little surprised. I mean, I did an entire segment naming Leah Thomas the woman of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was very sarcastic, Glenn, and it seemed some people detected, and I know I didn't intend this, of course, at all, but some people detected sarcasm when I said Leah Thomas was the only good female driver. I mean, of course you win women of the year if you're the only good female driver.
Sure.
But it's we just couldn't put our finger on why she was better than all of the women in these races and in so many other ways.
Yeah. One of the only women that doesn't look sexier when she smokes a cigar for some reason. You know what I mean? Okay.
See, these are all good points that should totally get you banned from Twitter.
Exactly right. Well, maybe this story will do it.
Okay.
Disney has a list of their worker demands. The company's LGBTQ workers, I don't know what they do with the I and the 2 and the plus, but they don't care, apparently. They have been protesting its response to the controversial legislation. It's not controversial, just in news stories it is. They are now saying that they want a mammoth footprint in Florida politically. They also want to go after Texas and our governor, and they want the company to be much more magical when it comes to can I ask you something? Something says to me that liberals have made the point that companies are not people, and so they shouldn't be able to use all their money for political influence.
I have heard that before.
I have heard that too. That's weird, because that's not where they're going. Now, here's the great thing, and I know we've all been begging for more of this, but the LGBT task force, set to be led by Disney Studios Senior Vice President of Communications and Senior Vice President of Global Marketing for Disney Park Experiences and Products, they have reported that they want to be seen as a force for good for LGBT children and adult communities. And so they are going to make more LGBT content for children. And I think, you know, I think this is really, I mean, who hasn't been screaming for more content, LGBT content for our children from Disney? I mean,
oh my gosh, it's nonstop. The need is so yeah. deep. There's a new Cheaper by the Dozen out by Disney.
Yeah. Except yeah. there's only 9 kids.
Is it 9?
I think it is. Yeah.
But, you know, a friend of a friend had their kid just picked it as a movie. They figured it was Disney. It's
yeah.
kids.
No.
Opens up with a outside shot of the house, BLM signs on the front lawn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these bizarre scenes where, like, you know, I guess it's a white husband and a black wife, and she's like, people are staring at me at the pool, and he's like, wow, they're not staring at you. And she's like, you don't understand what it's like to be like me and be stared at the pool. Now, I don't know, maybe she was an actress in a bikini and that's why she was being stared at.
No. It is all about that.
But that's what is going on?
Disney has decided that it is their job and their place to raise our children and tell us what's right and wrong, and not to enchant us with magical experiences. I am done with Disney. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening. Okay, so let's look at what happened over the past couple of weeks due to Russia's invasion. The global corporate community has united in parallel with world governments. The DHS has labeled misinformation as a terror threat, while at the same time, the media and even elected government officials are calling Americans treasonous for asking questions about what's going on in Ukraine. The crackdown is coming, but the big change that is on the horizon is what's about to happen to the global financial system. Anyone who is paying attention understands what Joe Biden said yesterday is true when he came out and said, there's a new world order that's formulating. It's actually begun, and it's creating a new Axis power hostile to the United States. We are now making moves to decouple from the U.S. dollar. We are, not just the rest of the world. We are. Now, our enemies wish to weaken us, but ironically, so does our own government. It goes right along with the Great Reset. They want and need a weak dollar, and to take its place, I kid you not, a single global currency. Their words, not mine. In the meantime, the path to full control and submission will go straight through a U.S. digital dollar. It's being built right now. ESG could enforce with the press of a button. Privacy, a thing of the past. Local banks probably won't survive. And they can also print whatever they want with zero oversight. This is MMT, Modern Monetary Theory, on steroids. And for the Great Reset, it has to get done. Bretton Woods 3, the next great global financial shift is underway, and I will show you what it looks like and what it all means tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, how Ukraine's crisis will usher in a digital dollar disaster. Tonight at 9 on Blaze TV. Sign up now. Join us. We need your support. You can join us at blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn and save. All right. I wanted to bring Justin Haskins in. He is the co-author of The Great Reset, the editorial director of the Heartland Institute, editor-in-chief of StoppingSocialism.com. He is also the co-author of my new book that is out, The Great Reset. By the way, it is in stores again, and it is in a hardbound copy. I highly recommend that you get the hardbound. You can listen to it on audiobook, but please get the hardbound. It has 50 pages of fine print and footnotes. You can have the argument with your friends or whoever. No, this is from whitehouse.gov or ustreasury.gov. Welcome, Justin. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well. I've taken the advice of Bloomberg.
Uh-huh.
I've decided to deal with all the effects of inflation. I'm off of beet now. I'm only eating lentils, dried lentils all the time. That's all I'm eating.
Great. Well, thank you for eating dry lentils because we don't want to use too much water either.
I care about the climate, Glenn.
So,
I care about the climate.
Justin, you wrote an article for Newsweek, Biden's plan for a digital dollar, massive threat to freedom. You can find that now at newsweek.com. But if I hear one more person say, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. It's going to happen sooner than people think. Agree?
100%. We know for a fact that this is the case. When we were working on the Great Reset book, and not everyone knows this, but we started writing that in 2020, way back in 2020. And when we were writing the Great Reset book, we quoted from people involved in that movement who are affiliated with Joe Biden, using words like a new world order and talking about the possibility of a digital currency, switching to a digital currency. And there's a whole chapter in the book about modern monetary theory that discusses all of those things. And we are now seeing this play out in real time. This is actually happening. The things that we were called crazy for a couple of years ago are now happening. This new executive order issued by the Biden administration not only says that the federal government needs to study the issue of creating a digital currency and produce a report within 6 months on this, even though we've already had a bunch of reports about this, including one that came out in January from the Fed. It says that within 7 months, 210 days of the order, there needs to be legislation produced by the Treasury Department, the Attorney General, and the chair of the Fed. They need to get together and create a legislative proposal for a digital dollar and present it to the White House. So you don't do that within 7 months unless you've been planning to do this, a major, major shift in the modern.
And we know they have been. I mean, we know that this has been a push all over the world. And we also, as I'm going to explain tonight, I'm going to show you what the Fed has been doing in Boston with MIT. They already have it. They already know. What they're looking to do on this executive order is a little creepy. Why, Justin, would you need to talk to businesses, activist groups, environmental groups? Why would the government need to get their opinion on a new dollar, a new currency?
Yeah. The only reason that you would be talking to those, and then that's not you just speculating. That comes directly from the White House. They said that they've been working with industry, labor, consumer, environmental groups, international allies and partners. Why would you be working with all of these people on a dollar, on a new currency? The only reason you would be working with them on that is because the currency is going to be programmable. It's going to be programmable, controllable, trackable, traceable, and you'll be able to manage it, set restrictions for it anytime you want. That's the only reason you would be concerned with talking to environmentalists, for example, when trying to develop, or labor unions when trying to develop a currency like this. They have given it away when in the executive order itself, It says that they want to promote, use this currency to promote financial inclusion and equity and to fight climate change and pollution. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that unless it's a programmable, controllable currency?
And
the words financial inclusion are six times it's mentioned in executive order. And equity and climate change are mentioned four times each. That's 14 times they mention terms like that in his executive order.
So it's really important that people understand programmable. And we have new video. Do we have this ready? This is from the Fed in St. Louis, right? Do you know the background of this? Explain who this is that we're about to hear.
You're about to hear, this is from a Q&A session in 2021 with David Andelfato, who's a senior vice president and economist with the St. Louis Fed. He is an expert on digital currency. And the Q&A is about what's going to happen with a potential digital currency created by the Fed in the future. And the person who's asking the question says, Can the Fed assure us that, meaning the public, that these digital currencies won't ever be used to tell us when, how, or where our money can be spent? And then he responds with this incredible answer.
Listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, in life, one can't give absolute assurances of anything. If I understand the question correctly, I think the caller is concerned about the potential privacy that would be associated, say, with a government sort of digital currency. This is an ongoing debate that we have all the time about, how much privacy is desirable. I mean, there's a bit of a trade-off here as well, because, we don't know, for example, what sort of entities might make use of these central bank digital currencies for nefarious purposes, say, to finance terrorist activities. So, we might want the government to monitor certain types of transactions as well. And, we see this in the anti-money laundering laws and the KYC laws. So there's a trade-off. One can't give assurances for sure, but I mean, I think what we can be assured of is that Congress will respond to the electorate's concerns, and this is kind of the best we can hope for.
Okay, good. Okay, so what he's saying here is, we're gonna monitor for terrorists, et cetera, et cetera. The problem is, that's his opinion, and how do you define terrorist? But it's also really important that you look overseas, because they've already had this conversation 3 or 4 years ago in Great Britain. And Parliament, the reason why the digital currency debate kind of stopped and went closed quarters is because they started having this debate. Well, what if we want people to buy certain things or not buy certain things? And that's what a digital programmable currency will do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And his response actually is extremely telling. If somebody asks you, hey, are you guys going to use this as a tool to control our lives and manipulate us and decide what we can buy and when, what we can't buy and when? What would be the response if your plan was not to do that? Your response would be, no, that's crazy. Of course we're not going to do that. And instead, he begins with, in life, one can't give absolute assurances of anything, really. I mean, what kind of response is that unless that's the goal? And going back to what you said about terrorism, we just saw this play out in Canada,
yep,
where people who supported the Freedom Truckers were literally being called terrorists by the government.
And by the way, the parents in Virginia were also labeled as terrorists. If you're labeled terrorist by the government and they have a right to shut down all terrorist activities and shut down the use of the digital currency, well, what would have happened? Would that have happened? What happened in Canada to the truckers? Would that have happened to the parents in Virginia? And would people have even stood up if they knew that was a possibility?
According to most people in the Democratic Party today, at least if you watch CNN, almost everybody who supports Donald Trump is an insurrectionist.
Correct.
So wouldn't they be a part of all of this as well? This is so incredibly dangerous. And they are openly talking about these things. They're saying that they're going to use this as programmable currency to control and manipulate society, of course, for the betterment of everyone, according to them, right? But they're very open about it. All people have to do is listen and watch and believe what people are saying to them. Just take these people at their word. Take them seriously. And you will see that this is the plan, to use a digital currency, a whole new currency, to control and manipulate society.
So the measures that Biden announced, they say, will focus on six key areas: consumer and investor protection. What does that mean? Go ahead.
No, price controls would be my guess. Price controls, potentially determining how much money you can spend on, I don't know, gasoline or whatever, providing incentives for people to spend more money on solar power, determining whether you should be buying products that are good for you or bad for you, like, say, sugary drinks or something. I mean, the possibilities are truly endless.
Now, that sounds crazy, but let me tell you something that happened yesterday. By a 3-1 vote, with all Democratic members voting yes and the sole Republican voting member voting no, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, advanced the proposed rule compelling companies to disclose climate-related risks. The goal of the new regulation is to discourage Wall Street investment managers from giving oil and gas companies the investments they need to increase domestic energy production. Once the regulation is fully implemented, publicly traded companies would be forced to provide data on their own carbon emissions, how much energy they consume, and how much carbon emissions are generated by their suppliers and customers. Environmental, social, and governance investors would then use this data to deprive fossil fuel producers of the capital they need to increase domestic energy production. The new regulation will also force companies to get their emissions data independently certified by a third party. So if you don't think that that's what they're doing, well, then what is this from the SEC just yesterday? Justin, yesterday I talked about the cyber war warnings that are starting to come from the United States. There's more of them again coming out today. And you wrote to me last night and said, wait, Glenn, you don't forget a couple of things. You want to go over that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is so important. Remember that the Great Reset only happens when you have some sort of serious crisis that needs to be dealt with. And so COVID was
80 seconds. Sorry.
Yeah, the initial justification. So one of the various war games that these people who've been involved with the Great Reset have been running over the past couple of years that could be a potential trigger for continuing the Great Reset is a cyber pandemic or potential cyber warfare. July 2021, World Economic Forum hosted a massive event. They've been heavily involved in the Great Reset, obviously. 200 teams from 48 countries participating with corporations and banks, all talking about how they could transform how they could work together in the event of a cyber pandemic, a big cyber warfare event or something like that. In December 2021, Reuters reported 10 countries, including the United States and other European countries, held a major cyber attack, a war game that looked at a major cyber attack on the global financial system in an attempt to increase cooperation. Again, that could help to minimize any potential damage to the financial markets and banks. This was another big war game. And at what's the solution that they came up with at the end of all of this? Some of the solutions, according to Reuters, the participants discussed multilateral policies to respond to this cyber pandemic crisis, including a coordinated bank holiday, debt repayment grace periods, swap repo agreements, and coordinated delinking from major currency.
That would be us.
So where?
Oh, also, anybody who is podcasting or broadcasting anything other than everything is fine will also need to be silenced. That also, according to Reuters. Justin, thank you so much. The book is out, The Great Reset. Get it now.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
introduce you to a guy from Georgia. He joined the Army 9 days after 9/11 to defend freedom. He spent the next 15 years flying in and out of combat. He has a master's degree in aeronautical science, so I don't know, but I think I can call him a rocket scientist with that. I'm not sure. Now he is a Georgia State Representative and the Vice Chair of the Georgia Freedom Caucus. Philip, welcome. Philip Singleton.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for everything, especially for your work in the Freedom Caucus. I think the Freedom Caucus deserves the credit for any kind of shred of freedom that we have left right now. You guys are truly all over the country the only ones I see that we can count on to stand up. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, somebody's got to stand in the gap, and unfortunately, courage is probably the least consistent trait amongst politicians in America.
You know, courage and brain power. These guys are morons. They just they really don't think. You know, I talk to a lot of Republicans like, yeah, there's all kinds of problems going on. We're about to lose our country. And you tell them something like what you're going to say, and they're like, oh, that's crazy. That's not happening. Really? Spend 5 minutes and look into HB 1013. This is the Obamacare for mental health in Georgia. Explain it.
Yeah, so Glenn, you hit the nail on the head. So what this bill does, it's a government mandate. It's a massive mandate, the largest one we've had since Obamacare passed, that mandates that every insurance company in the state has to cover mental health. And we'll get into the details of that later. But it's very broad and wide ranging, and gives them a tremendous amount of power to some federal medical bureaucrats, which we've all seen how well that's been working over the last couple of years. It also mandates that individuals get these insurance coverages. You know, every individual has to carry insurance. It's a private mandate. It reduces the requirements of imminent threat to harm yourself or others before the police can fine you up to 48 hours without due process. It essentially takes that requirement away. It just says they have to have a reasonable expectation you might commit a crime. It goes on and on, Glenn, but the bottom line is...
Wait. Let me go through some of these other, because this is terribly frightening. You know, every country, when it goes bad, it starts locking people up for mental health disorders, and those mental health disorders are, you know, could be as broad as climate change denier. There's something wrong with this person. This bill blurs a line between criminal behavior and mental health disorders. Associated Press reports police would have the authority to take people for mental health treatment without witnessing a crime. Also, involuntary commitment procedures from imminently life-endangering crisis to a reasonable expectation that significant psychiatric deterioration will occur in the near future. So this makes this much easier to institutionalize people against their will, right?
Oh yeah. Don't be drunk on the street corner wearing a MAGA hat when this bill passes. You know, you're crazy and they're going to lock you up. And it's terrifying. What's more interesting too is, you know, this is Georgia's the epicenter, the political universe. It was last election cycle. We're going to be again this election cycle. So it's not an accident, Glenn, that they're trying to get the quote unquote Republican House, Republican Senate, Republican governor in Georgia to pass a bill that, you know, one of the authors said was based off the Illinois, California, and Oregon versions of single payer. If they can pass that here, then they can take over health care everywhere. And that's exactly what they're trying to do.
OK, so this is disturbing. And I imagine you're coming from the same angle. Not only is this a massive opening to mental health and a big burden on everybody cost wise, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're talking about a mental health issue and it allows you to take guns from people with mental health issues, this scares the hell out of me, because a lot of our service personnel came back and they were suffering from PTSD, and that's on the record. Would this allow them to lose their guns and their rights?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a very slippery slope, and a lot of that's going to depend on the interpretation of Attorney General time. But just for your listeners and you, let me break it down very quickly. Essentially, what this bill does is it points to a liberal document called the DSM-5 that's published by the APA. You know, the APA, New York Times did a 2016 study. They published it in the New York Times, right? They're all known for great journalism. But even they talk about how the APA is an extremely left-wing Democrat organization.
Oh, my gosh.
But what this does is we cede all of the power to the APA DSM-5 for definitions of all mental health conditions. And then this bill requires the state and these insurance companies to track everyone who has a mental health condition, which I hate to tell you this, Glenn. Everybody has got something listed in this DSM-5. You know, whether it's erectile dysfunction or a sleep disorder or ADHD, you've got a mental health condition according to the left-wing APA. Well, if you have a mental health condition, you're not a lawful weapons owner. So it's a very short link from, you know, Governor Stacey Abrams, if God forbid she gets elected in November, which, by the way, she came out 2 days ago praising this bill that every single Democrat in the legislature supports and passed, by the way. So when Republicans are passing Democrat health care measures, I think we've got bigger concerns at hand. But what they're doing is they're praising that because, you know, it's a very short leap for them to say, hey, you know what? All these people that we are now tracking in this database that have a mental condition, we've got to go in and, for their own safety, make sure that they don't have any firearms.
Okay,
so it's not what's in the bill, Glenn. It's what the bill does.
Oh, you know? I know. And people are just so stupid when they say this will never mean. Good heavens, man! When we passed the Patriot Act and said we have to start listening to terrorists, did you ever think that it would mean parents at a school board meeting? Of course not. Stop thinking these things can't happen. They are happening. Okay, so last week, the House passed this awful bill 169-3. So all Democrats and all but three Republicans supported this?
That's right.
What?
Yeah, look, the bill is being pushed by the Speaker of the House himself, David Ralston. So he's spoken on committee, and he's putting every lever that he has of government behind it to make sure that the bill passes. You know, Glenn, you've been around long enough to know there's a reason the bill came up on the first day in session back during qualifying, right? If you voted against this bill, here goes your primary qualifier. You know, and the other two members, by the way, who voted no with me, two Freedom Caucus members, that week, they both got primary challengers. You know, I didn't because the speaker already drew me out of my district and redistricted me into last year because they'd rather have a liberal Democrat than a conservative Republican. But this is the way they operate. And it's just, it's all big government. It's all government growth and expansion. And people need to realize that this is the aim of this is one thing. It's to consolidate power with the government and take away your ability and mental health. You know, God bless them. It's a crisis in the country, and it's a crisis largely caused by government intervention and taking away civil liberties. And so the concept of even using the government to solve a problem caused by the government, you know, your listeners get the irony, but unfortunately many don't.
Well, that's also another tool of the dictatorships. They find ways to make everyone possibly in violation of something. And then they only apply it to those that they want to apply it to. And mental health, that's easy. I mean, we have heard, you know, if you stand up against, you know, transgenderism, you're going to be the one called that you have a mental disease. You have some sort of hatred that is just pouring through you. The taxpayers will be forced to pay for sex change operations, right?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. So, you know, the authors of the bill will fight this, but the reality is what the bill does, because it points to the DSM-5, it says that everything in this liberal document has to be covered by insurance. Well, the DSM-5 currently says that there are four treatments for gender dysphoria. Two of them are medical, so steroid injections or surgery, which means, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, Glenn. You don't have to be a rocket scientist, you know, pun intended, to understand the meaning of the legislation, which is that you're going to have to pay for transgender surgery. And let me tell you what, churches are going to have to pay for it. There's no religious exemptions. You know, it's Little Sisters of the Poor all over again. Because if you have, if you're a church provider and you have Blue Cross Blue Shield, well, your premiums are going to go up, and you're going to be paying for transgender reassignment surgery for someone. Which, by the way, we don't even have age limits on that yet. And the APA doesn't want age limits on it. They're completely fine with a 10-year-old getting their genitalia cut off and mutilated by their parents to serve some woke objective. It's disgusting.
Okay, so this is past the House, but it now goes to the Senate in Georgia. Once the bill leaves subcommittee, it then has to go to full committee and then the rules committee and then the Senate floor. So there is time to defeat this, but it has to be defeated in the Senate, right?
That's right. It's got to be defeated in the Senate. There's a chance that the governor, with enough pressure with your viewers and other viewers, you know, the governor is in a primary. He's been pretty silent on this bill. There's a chance that the governor would veto it if it somehow sneaks back through. But there's no chance without listeners getting engaged, without national attention, because the legislature up here, you know, it makes the D.C. swamp look a little bit funny. The legislature down here is a complete swamp. And it takes engaged citizens.
They all are.
Kind of stuff.
I'm telling you, they all are. I'm so sick to my stomach about these legislatures. And quite honestly, these Republicans, they make me sick to my stomach. They have sold us out lock, stock, and barrel in many, many cases. And I don't know what they're doing, but they're not paying attention to what's really happening in the world. All right. So,
Glenn, it's why the Freedom Caucus is so important. You know, the National Freedom Caucus has stood in the gap in D.C. These state freedom caucuses are popping up in states across the country with the State Freedom Caucus Network. That's what we do. You know, we are the ones that are in the legislature that are standing up. I mean, I was in a meeting yesterday and I stood up and said, you guys are furious with me. And all I have done is continue to abide by the Republican Party platform and opposed the things that we are opposed to. And that's the difference between a Freedom Caucus member and a not Freedom Caucus member. We're about the principles and the policies.
I know.
Not about the power and the structure within the system.
Philip, thank you so much. So people need to call the governor, and will it help to call the Senate?
Yeah, call the senators. Come down to the Capitol and talk to people about it. Face-to-face works. Call the people running for office. You know, you've got 234 members of the General Assembly running for re-election. You've got Congress people running for re-election. You've got governors. You've got lieutenant governors. Call them all. You know, Trump's coming to Georgia on Saturday. I'd love to see, you know, President Trump and his six endorsed candidates, you know, fight against Abrams Care. I mean, these are all, you know, political pressure is a combination of every pressure point. You know, it's not just one. And so we just need help.
Thank you very much, Philip. I appreciate it. The bill is HB 1013. HB 1013. It's happening in Georgia. Look out. Something like this may be happening in your state. And it's all geared around mental health and extraordinarily dangerous. HB 1013. Georgia, burn up the phones. Stop this from passing. Without you, it will pass and be signed into law. And God help you. HB 1013.